Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dr. Rick Holm is with us now for your weekly checkup, host of the Prairie Doc. And I just turned on the TV last weekend with my daughter. We were trying to find something just, you know, for a minute to watch before we watched a movie as we were, you know, setting things up. And there you and I were on TV.
Yes.
And that's all I watched after that. It was because I just, again, I don't want to gush, but, you know, what a remarkable book. And how eloquently you speak about the depth of your knowledge. So,
thank you.
Anyway.
It was my life's work, you know, internal medicine and geriatrics. And so it was kind of nice to cap it off with a book, actually, to say, here's the things that you need to address as an older person or when you're caring for an older person. And so that was a fun thing.
You know? Well done, good doctor.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you very much.
All right, so today we're going to talk about Indian health. And the first thing that comes to my mind when we say Indian health is, of course, the Indian Health Services and how you know, the political and the bureaucracy and some of the failings and what the federal government does and the investigative work that's been done.
Right.
But that's not what we're here.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit. You know, Don Warren, who is my guest tonight, and this is the summer reruns, right? So it was the best show, I thought, and I was just so impressed by Dr. Warren. He is a physician, family physician, but also a master of public health, and he teaches in North Dakota and coordinates public health issues and research and so on and so forth. And I was thinking the first time I met him and interviewed him, the BIA has got it. The Bureau of Indian Affairs is dysfunctional, and it's got to, you know, we just have to throw it away and start over. And he came back with, well, Rick, how much money do you think is spent by the national government on Medicare per person per year on average? And then I had no idea, you know, and he said, well, $12,000 is the average amount of money spent on Medicare. If you look at the VA, how much is spent per person per year? The VA, well, it's, you know, $6,000 or $7,000. How much do you think is allotted per person per year for through the BIA? And it's less than $2,000. So it's underfunded, his point was.
Right.
Of course, that was one of the promises when we made a treaty with them and took all their lands, was that we would promise that we would help them with we would cover their education and cover their health care. And it's another broken white person's promise, actually, what it really is.
Let's talk about tonight's show. What are some of the main topics?
Well, we talk about diabetes mostly, because that's really the illness American Indian is mostly burdened with, type 2 diabetes. It's an inherited thing. And the theory is that in prolonged starvation periods of time, with, you know, moments of gluttony and plenty of food, genetic predisposition to store food very carefully, very fast, very aggressively, predisposes to people to diabetes when there's always plenty of food or enough food for people to eat too many calories, you know. So the predisposition of the American Indian is really probably in times of starvation, a genetic advantage, but it's certainly a disadvantage in this time and era.
Yeah. So what are some of the takeaways for managing diabetes, dealing with the health issues that come along with it?
Well, Emil Redfish, an American Indian friend of mine and a PA and an old-fashioned medicine man who learned all the medicine man types of things. So he's kind of a wizened gentleman, and he's older than I am. So he's older than dirt itself, you know.
He's an elder.
And his point was that if Indians exercised as much as they had to in the old days, and they ate the Indian diet, which is mostly lean meat and fruits and vegetables instead of all of these carbohydrates that we and fats that are poured upon the modern diet that the American Indian eats. You know, the cheese supplement, the peanut butter supplement, those types of things. If you ate properly and you exercised properly, then you would do very well. I mean, that's the treatment for diabetes is to encourage people to get out every day and do their 1 mile walk at least or more, and to eat less calories and let it be less carbohydrate calories. And so that was his recommendation to me, and I think that's a good one.
We recently looked at the numbers for South Dakota Kids Count, or the NEE Casey Foundation's Kids Count report. We looked at the South Dakota profile, and it talked about the number of kids who are living in poverty. Let's talk about poverty as a broad issue and how that can affect people's health.
Well, Tom Dean, a physician from Wessington Springs, said that every illness that you see on the res is the same that he saw when he did healthcare in a poor county in North Carolina, and or somewhere in there, Virginia, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I think it was West Virginia actually. And his point is, poverty brings drug abuse and alcoholism. It brings malnutrition. It brings all of the things that one could say, oh, this is an Indian problem. No, it's a poverty problem. And if you look at why they're in poverty, it's a consequence of what we did to them. I think it's easy to point fingers and say, well, this is what they should do, and we've given them too much, and it's the alcohol and so on and so forth. Well, all that's malarkey. That's just a consequence of poverty. And the consequence of poverty is, and the reason they're in poverty is it's hard to make it there. It's some of the worst land in South Dakota. You can't own things, so therefore you don't go in and start a factory, because there's all these tribal rules that are built on the traditions of the American Indian. But the problem is ownership keeps industry from starting. But do you want to go in there with the white man, the European way? I mean, it's a tough scenario. Mm.
So tackling problems of poverty, do you have hope?
Oh gosh, this is the seventh. This is the seventh generation after what was the terrible thing that happened in 1890? I'm trying to remember where the white man
massacred. The treaty?
No, white man massacred all those.
Okay, Wounded Knee.
Wounded Knee. Yeah. The seventh generation after Wounded Knee, and Don Warren, Dr. Warren, said to me that's the story that after seven generations, we'll be back, but it's going to take seven generations to do it. I think it has to do with education, and we see hope in that realm.
On Call with the Prairie Doc is tonight. Much more on these topics. Dr. Rick Holm, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
It's always
you,
great to have you here in person.
Thank you very much.